Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, now I know you've heard me in these matters previously, but I just want to say this for the benefit of your people. I'm just asking you, Father, to elevate us to a degree heretofore unknown in our lives, in preparation for those glorious days that are upon us now. And so, Father, we thank you for that, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. And I thank you, Father, for all the years of preparation in our lives to bring us to this point, to prepare us indeed for such a time as this, that we might enter into the fullness of kingdom living, that we may truly impact the world as you desire to impact the world. So we praise you for it, Father, and we thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a number of things to say today. The message is entitled Unfading Glory, and that's a very important thing to keep in mind for this hour that we're in. Because up until this time, we really have been striving in and by the Spirit to become the glorious church, and He has been faithful to prepare us. But as we all know, and as we've talked about, and as we've experienced, we've been through the training process, the refining process, and it's been more of almost a coming out and a coming in, as we've had to learn to deal day by day with the adversary, as we've learned to come to that place where we truly love God. And so I'm going to start off, and I obviously can't cover the fullness of this revelation in one teaching, but I know, and you're going to find this out, some things about the third day anointing, and I'm going to share a bit on that later. But the fact is that as you open your hearts to receive the incorruptible word of God, both written and spoken, He is faithful to bring that into a full-blown revelation as you continue to guard your heart with all diligence. And as you're going to hear with the things I share today, we are about to transcend the natural and the natural way of thinking that has plagued the church up until this time in many areas. So I'm going to start off with a few foundational basics, because if you don't get these two things, there's nothing else to go on to. Number one, the divine requirement is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That is the totality of the divine requirement. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. And everything else in between is glorious, as long as that requirement is adhered to through our faithfulness and through our obedience. We've heard it mentioned previously in this conference and certainly before that, that we need to put God first in all things. We need to understand when Jesus spoke the words, when he said, and I'm going to paraphrase this a bit, he said, if you put anything above me, you're not fit to be my disciple. Now that's not coming in a spirit of criticism. That's coming in a spirit of reality, a spirit of truth. And what it literally means is this. It's not that God doesn't love all of his children, but if we allow idolatry to remain in our life to any degree, in any way, shape, or form, we are not fit to enter in to what he has planned gloriously for those who truly love him. Now that's what I want you to keep in mind, because where we're going is a place that has not been seen apart from glimpses in this earth. And it's a message the apostles are bringing, the true apostles. It's a message that the prophets are expounding on and bringing clear to the body of Christ, to those who truly love him. Keep this in mind. Only those whose hearts are pure in this last hour will see. See what? Whatever they need to see to fulfill God's destiny for their life. It's an absolute judgment that is about to come forth in the midst of God's people. And each child of God initially is going to be found standing on one side or the other. There will be time to repent, but it will be very short, and it will take a deep and thorough repentance, in some cases with a view to laying down everything that they've ministered previously, because it was built on the wrong foundation. But it's a glorious time. So we need to have that revelation of the divine requirement, loving the Lord our God with all our heart. That's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job. And God empowers us to do it. Number two, and this is very, very key, very, very important, because I've said this before, we need to be a people who partake of the fullness of all that God has provided for us in Christ. And the first and key catalyst to receiving all that you need daily is to have an intimate relationship with the Father and with His Word. It's not a game. It's not something we decide how or where or when. It's totally on his terms, and therefore it comes by revelation. It's different for each member of the body, but it is required of each member. He gave me a title 2 years ago in the June conference, and it's still my favorite title, and it was Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. The transition into what? The transition into the fullness of kingdom living. The transition into the fullness of your inheritance in Christ, which is the fullness of salvation. That is a message that we as the glorious church will impart first to a church that's fallen far short of the glory through an adherence to the standards of the world and to self and to self-agenda. And then we will take that message to the world so they might see the living Christ as he truly is and know the heart of the Father's love towards them. Keep this in mind. Love is the greatest power in this universe. Indeed, God is love. And therefore, it will be the love of God flowing and abiding within us, hence the expression unfading glory or the unfading manifestation of God's presence in his church that will win the world. That's God's plan. It's a good one. So just a bit of definition here for the inner chamber. It's extremely important. You've heard the terms. You don't have to call it that. You can call it the Holy of Holies. You can call it whatever it is. But it is the place where you enter in to that intimate fellowship with the Father and his Word. It's a place the devil can't go. Sometimes we forget that. There is a place we can go where he can't. And as you'll see, as I share later, we are going to be a church that abide in this place. Yes, it is possible. We're going to have to get our thinking up a little bit, maybe quite a bit in some cases. But nonetheless, you know, Jesus is Lord. And the things that he provided, that is every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, are real. And we need to be those who partake of them so we can walk in it. You cannot impart or walk in that which you have not received from the throne room. It's that simple. Too much striving, too much going on. But God is about to drive Satan and his forces out through his church, out of the midst of those who truly love him. And from that place, the exponential increase daily in the glorious church is almost too hard to comprehend. So again, we need to be elevated in our thinking and not base our thinking on what's happened in the past or what we think might happen in the future. God is going to reveal his plan to those who are faithful, and he's going to empower us to walk in it. He gave me a word on the inner chamber to define it. He said, the inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber daily. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. Again, just to summarize that, the inner chamber is the place of perfect empowerment. What does that mean? It doesn't matter what you're called to. It means you will be perfectly empowered in any given moment to do or say whatever you need to do or say. Again, the empowerment of God, the grace of God. We are a church that will operate in great grace. We will be a church that has a revelation of that word. We will be a church that has a revelation of the word kingdom and what that truly means in Christ. Not just words that are bandied about loosely while not being lived out according to the most holy purpose of God. Holiness is the key word for the hour. And those who are truly love God, who truly desire to serve him, their main concern will be very, very confined to this, and that's faith, love, obedience, leading to holiness. That's our concern. From that springs all true doctrine. All false doctrine is rooted and grounded in rebellion. And that error is causing great havoc in the church right now. But God is gathering those who truly love him. And we, as the prophet Malachi said, we will once again be able to distinguish between those who truly serve him and those who don't. Those who truly love him and those who don't. That's a good thing. Because the world needs to see that. They can see a hypocrite. They are hypocrites. They are hypocrites going somewhere to happen. Because they don't have a revelation of the truth. And so everything they do is for themselves. But if Christians live after their own desires, then we become walking hypocrites and a sign that the world can easily disregard. But they will not be able to disregard the glorious church. And God is going to bring every last person in this earth to a point of decision. Some will make the wrong ones. I don't understand why. But many, many will come in to not only the new birth, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in fire, and the fullness of kingdom living to spend the rest of their days living holy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the reality of God's plan. It says in Acts 2 at the very end of the prophecy that Peter quoted of Joel, it says about the dreaming dreams, speaking the visions, the handmaidens, and so on. It says, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I have to reiterate, the word saved, we have to get our thinking up. It doesn't just mean the new birth. It means the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. And that's the way we need to be in our own lives as far as receiving, that we might impart that to people. So when they come into the church, when they experience the new birth, they're not just torn away by the devil. No, it's different in this last hour. People are going to come in under the Spirit and the power of the cross, and they're going to walk in it for the rest of their lives. And therefore, the resurrection life and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be manifest in those who come into the kingdom in this last hour. Again, this is the reality of the age. Anything you hear below these things is less, far less, than the glory that God desires to manifest in this earth and will manifest in a people who are wholly given. Now, having said that about the divine requirement and intimacy, the importance of it, you have to understand this. When you are in right relationship with God, and that's individually, because it's individual obedience according to God's plan for you in the inner chamber that will lead to your perfect spiritual positioning, that will cause the manifestation of the true corporate environments, whether that's a house church, whether that's a city of refuge, whatever, however they manifest. It's all based on this one thing, individual obedience, so that you know and understand and are in the right position in God's will. Excuse me. Now, it's going to cause 8 definitive chain reactions when one is obedient individually in the inner chamber. I'm just going to read that word here. In this last hour, as the children of God enter into close and intimate fellowship with the Father and His Word in the inner chamber, a series of supernatural chain reactions shall begin to take place throughout the body of Christ. Now, this is already happening. There's been many people who have been in the cave for many years, but they've been faithful to fellowship with God, and they have a revelation. Well, now the process is going to accelerate as far as God bringing together and connecting these glorious connections, as He calls them. And from this, again, we're going to see that exponential increase in the true church in the days ahead. And there's going to be a supernatural connecting throughout the earth, in the spirit, first of all, but they'll also affect physical manifestation in the movement of God's people and the release of His power. So 8 definitive chain reactions, and it's because there's a people in the earth who have learned through fellowship with Him, and this is where the empowerment comes, to acknowledge Him in all of their ways. If it's the Scripture says, if you acknowledge Him in all of His ways, what will He do? He will direct your paths. Well, if He directs your paths, He's going to empower you to stay on that path and to fulfill everything that He created for you on that narrow path. The path is indeed narrow, but on it, the Father and Jesus are with you. So the first thing then, true spiritual environments will be established both individually and corporately. That's very, very important. There are many things happening in the world right now that are the result of the spirit of Antichrist working. And it's bringing a curse on many nations, and there are many things happening. But God is going to raise up the true spiritual environments, and they will be a refuge. In whatever way, shape, or form they take, they will be a refuge to those who are truly seeking God. First of all, not just for protection, also, though, for the bringing them into the fullness of what they're called to do. Preparation. And this is an advanced preparation. You can count on the fact that this will not be a gradual progression from here on out. This will be a kingdom increase. This will be a supernatural multiplication by the empowerment of God. And so we must be ready. That's what we're called to do. Be ready. Number 2, because of this obedience of His children entering into the inner chamber, it's going to allow the Father to reveal the depths of His character and His fatherhood. to a continually greater degree. Now, this brings many things to pass. Again, I've said this before, I can't stand here and do a 20-point sermon on the benefits of the inner chamber. I could speak the words, but there's where the empowerment comes, where the revelation comes, again, is as each individual believer enters in to that fellowship that he requires on his terms, there is an empowerment there you cannot get anywhere else. I don't care how many tapes you listen to. I don't care how much good preaching you listen to or what environment you're in. This is a requirement. And I'll explain why that is a principle of first beginnings. When God created man, what did he create him for? For fellowship. Okay, Adam fell. We know that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, everything in his plan is predicated on that principle of first beginning, and that is individual fellowship with God. He never changes. He can't do it. That is why people who don't obey this divine requirement to spend time in his presence are out there in the dark. And they will remain there until such a time as a deep and thorough repentance comes. The sword has come to divide in the midst of God's people. It is the sword of truth. So this time with the Father will allow him to reveal himself. And this will bring many things. First of all, it will bring the exposure of any fear within us that prevents his perfect love from operating in us and from us experiencing that perfect love. And sometimes this is the greatest scheme of the enemy, is to keep the children of God in fear, because if you maintain fear and therefore sin, because whatever is not of faith is sin, then you will not enter in. That's his scheme. It's a strange thing. And of course, it can divert into many other areas, such as working our way through performance for God's approval, which is another lie of the enemy. But whatever Satan does, his main scheme is to keep people out of the presence of God, because again, that's where the perfect empowerment comes from. Doesn't matter what you're called to. You will be perfectly empowered if you are obedient in this area. Now, having said all that, you're perfectly empowered because we have a job to do. But again, the first and foremost thing is for us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and have that one-on-one relationship. And somebody said talked about people becoming shadows. Absolutely correct. That's the way it should be. Because if you're in right relationship with God, you will be perfectly empowered to deal with people. And they will be blessed because they'll see the living Christ in you. And they'll experience the love of God, not some counterfeit that's bound up in self-desire and approval, the seeking after approval. So it will produce many things, this revelation of his fatherhood, but mostly it will produce divine restoration in the lives of people. Even people who've been affected almost since birth from all the negative things the devil has tried to bring upon families, upon children, all those things. Restoration. I said this once, I'll say it again. If you have a revelation of the Father's love abiding in your heart, you'll never fear what people think, and you'll never seek after the approval of man again. Again, a key positioning for you to enter into the fullness of kingdom living. And again, as I've said, it will bring forth the removal of the inferiority complex that has plagued the church at large. And that is simply, people have held to a mindset or mindsets of something far less than they truly are in Christ, that the blood of Jesus has bought for us. Sin consciousness. Now, I want to define sin consciousness. You've probably heard that word before. And it's not, again, we can't just throw words around. We have to have a revelation of them. We have to understand what they mean according to God's purpose, according to us individually, too. Sin consciousness could be defined as a greater consciousness in the Christian or awareness through fear of what one has been redeemed from rather than what they've been redeemed into. That is Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. That is our inheritance. That is the totality of God's provision for us, as we're going to see a little later. And of course, this revelation is kept up through an abiding faith in the Word of God. And as the revelation grows, we get a revelation of who we are in Christ. All sin consciousness will be removed. We will no longer fear the things we've been redeemed from. We will have a revelation of who we are in Christ. And that continually transcends and overrides any negative mindset or lying thought or fear the devil would attempt to place. So The next thing that will produce is a perfect trust in the Father and His Word. And this will release a powerful and heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration. So you see, here's the cycle. God requires us to love Him with all our heart, with all our being. And then through our obedience to enter into His presence, He empowers us to do so. That's why you can't love the heart, love God with all your heart apart from His perfect provision. We've all tried. We've all tried. And perhaps the final element of fine-tuning within those who are truly seeking God is to lay down that last vestige of effort, self-effort, towards holiness. We can't do it. We should know that, but nonetheless, God is faithful to do the deepest work of the cross in us so that we're not going to fall short of the glory in this last hour to any degree. We're in this earth for one purpose, and that is to glorify God to the greatest degree in all that we do. It's to exalt the name of Jesus to the greatest degree in all that we do. It's to devastate Satan to the greatest degree in all that we say and do. And it is to bless and empower the people of God that He has placed in our path to the greatest degree. That's it. If everybody fulfills those four things by walking in perfect obedience, you can understand why there will be such an exponential increase and multiplication in the glorious church and in the people coming into the kingdom. This will produce a superabundant release. This is the consecration. And this is a consecration. I'm going to share a bit of an experience I had some years ago. God has never opened it up for me to share it completely, as I will today. But the fact is that this total anointing of total and absolute consecration is real. We will literally be a people who are driven, and that's a good thing, by the Holy Spirit with an intensity that this world has never seen before. And it will be perfect love. It will be the perfect manifestation of God's presence and power in the earth. This is where our mindset has to be. We've played around long enough in the church at large. We've had plans coming out our ears. And thank God for everything they've accomplished by the grace of God. But now God has a plan, and it's Himself. So this heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration, and it is a heavy anointing, as again, it will drive you, it will empower you, it will bless you, it will do all things that need to be done. It will cause a superabundant release, first in the individual, then corporately, of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the inner man. This is our secret. This is our empowerment. Jesus told us about building our foundation on the rock. And He talked about those who built their foundation on the sand. Well, I'll tell you, the sands are about to shift. And you don't want it to a radical degree, and you don't want to have your feet, even 1 foot or anything, in that place. See, it's all a matter of positioning this last hour. And all these things work together for our greatest good. All these things work together for us to fulfill the fullness of our destiny in Christ. And we cannot be apart from them. So that's what I say about the inner chamber. If you take that step in obedience to whatever God requires of you, all these things that I'm mentioning in this chain reaction will spontaneously manifest in your life. And we're coming to a glorious place. I encourage, I'm not speaking to a people who are going to miss it, but I'm speaking to a people who are going to go forth and take what they have gained here and impart it to people who are on the line. And God is faithful, and God is a just God, and no one will be anywhere or do anything apart from their own choice. And I'm not talking about being deceived. I'm saying they will come to a clear choice. Some will make the right decision, some won't. But nonetheless, we will be vessels that bring them to the point of decision and give them every opportunity and advantage to make the right one. That is the reality of God's love. There's only one force in this earth that can overcome rebellion, and that's the Holy Spirit. There is nothing. You can have all your psychological plans for, you know, getting rebellion out of your children or whatever. There's only one power, that's the Holy Spirit, and it'll be the same in the church at large. All right, so a superabundant release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the inner man. Now, see, it's from this place of abiding revelation, that means knowing what you need to know in any given moment for whatever purpose God has, big, small, or in between, this will cause these glorious and divine connections to increase throughout the earth, in different pockets of believers, but also throughout the earth and on a corporate level, worldwide. Why? Because the individual believer has a revelation of what they're supposed to do. They're not trying to figure it out. They're not trying to do this. They're not trying to do that. They're not trying to bring people together knowing it's God's intention. The glorious church will abide in the revelation knowledge that is given forth by the Holy Spirit in this last hour, or they will fall and fall hard. It's that simple. So we put ourselves in a position, we enter into rest, we've ceased striving from our own works, and now, again, these spontaneous manifestations are coming forth in our life. Then these divine connections will lead to the corporate manifestation of the glorious church throughout the earth. Again, a church without spot or wrinkle. And of course, this will produce, once the glorious church has fully taken legs, it will cause the fulfillment of the Father's plan for the church in this age and the reaping of the final harvest. Again, wherein vast multitudes come into true relationship with the living Christ, and Satan and his forces are devastated to an unprecedented degree. An unprecedented degree since Calvary. In other words, Jesus is going to finish the job. I'm going to share some things now. I'm just going to have to go where the Holy Spirit leads in this. But, you know, we've talked about this seven-year period and so on, and it was a very key time. Even though I didn't come to know Bill and Marcia through the internet, it was actually early 98. That time in 96 was significant for me. I had just spent 4 years of intense dealing by the Lord, and it was, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'll just briefly fill you in. I knew the Lord from the time I was a small child, but again, like most people, I thought I could do it myself. I was to find out I couldn't. And so basically fast forwarding, I was let out of the last secular job I had in 1983. And I was told to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe the Word. And it was a wonderful time. I still have fond memories of that. And shortly after that, he said, I'm calling you to intercede for the glorious church. This is early 84. And godly leadership in her. And I thought, like everybody else, you know, a couple of years, this thing will be going. Well, I spent the next 12 years watching it go backwards in everything I saw, every circumstance God led me into. And of course, that's how he taught me to walk by faith. And by, I can honestly stand here and say that it was by his grace that he's brought me to this point, because if he had told me what he was going to do and how it was going to happen, I'd have quit before I started, I can tell you, because I was a quitter when I got into this thing. So he had some dealing to do with me. But another thing he revealed when he talked about interceding for the glorious church, and I've had this, he gave me a burning revelation of his desire to devastate Satan. And of course, that includes his strongholds in the people. And I've always had that. I didn't hear it preached very much. In most places, I found people were just, you know, if they were doing okay, or they felt they were doing okay, if they were just holding the devil at bay. And that's not God's plan at all. His plan is to crush Satan under our feet. And crush him, he will. And we're going to talk about that as I share the vision with you. So anyway, at that point then, I came to a point in 1992 where, I mean, I was well aware of the danger of unforgiveness. God had given me a revelation of that. And I wasn't aware of any unforgiveness in my own life. But as God continued to do the deepest work at the cross, things began to surface. You know, he was getting down to the nitty-gritty now. And I went through 4 years, and I mean, I was doing the work of the ministry in the cave as much as I could, compiling writings and so on, but I was, in my day-to-day life, I was struggling with this. I couldn't let go of it. My problem was, now that I realize, I was trying to let go of it in my own strength instead of just letting it go by faith. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, at the end of that four-year period, suddenly, out of the blue, God gave me a revelation for the ministry letter. I mean, it came out of the blue. I had no idea what he was talking about, what I was going to do. I had no connections in the church except religious ones, and they weren't connections anymore because they'd all broken fellowship, thank God. And so God had me in a place, and I really didn't know what was going on. And so he gave me that revelation of the ministry letter, and I began to pursue that. But then we fast forward now to July 1997. Now, this was a key time because I'd hit a wall. I mean, I could see the denominational church in all her unglory, and I could understand that God wanted his people to be free from religious bondage of all sort. But I sure didn't know how he was going to do it, because I knew that it wasn't his plan to go in and evangelize the denominations, not per se. I mean, like we would have, you know, evangelized the world up to that point. I knew in my heart that wasn't his will. I'm not saying he doesn't, you go in and speak to people in the denominations, but what I'm saying is there was another way, and I didn't have a revelation of it. And so it was July 5th, 1997, and I'll never forget this, because in the weeks leading up to that, as a matter of fact, the week leading up to that, I was lying on my bed. I don't remember getting up, actually, but I guess I did. I was lying on my bed, and all I could do, I had enough strength to go over and flip the cassette on. I got the most anointed tapes I had up until that time, and I stuck them on, and I just kept listening to them. I was lying there like this. And so I didn't know what was happening. And so after a week of that, I was seeking God, but it was dark. It seemed so dark. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in my room. And all I remember about that initially was that from a position of total weakness, I jumped out of my bed, and he was standing right in the middle of my room. And I jumped out of my bed, and I just went flat on the floor on my face. That was just a spontaneous reaction. Now, people say, well, what did he look like? Well, I saw him in the spirit. I mean, he was there. You know, it was Jesus. So he began to speak to me. And he began to talk to me about the crown of unfading glory, or the crown of glory that won't fade, you might say that. And, you know, initially, I'm going to share a bit about this a little later at the end of this vision, about crowns. At that particular time, crowns to me were something we got once we were finished our course in this earth. I mean, that was my mindset. I'd never studied it. I'd never looked into it. I thought, no, we're going to get most of what we've got coming after we leave here. And so he came to change my thinking, and he changed it very radically, because I was never the same from that moment forth. You know, you have a visitation with Jesus. You spend time in the presence of the Father's word. You'll never be the same again. That's day to day. That's moment to moment. That's something that, if you want to change, that's the quickest way to do it. Don't try it yourself. That's the slowest way to change. But ultimately, it will lead back to that fellowship with God. So he was standing there. He began to talk to me. And, you know, it's funny. He gave me a word in this last part of this vision. And I realized I didn't actually copy down what he said to me. And I said, Lord, as I was looking through my journals, I said, I don't have this written down, because I was going to share it with you. And he said, is it really necessary? And I instantaneously knew, no, it's not, because he spent the last 7 years working that vision out in me and through me, and bringing me to a place where I could learn what he was saying to this point now, and then to impart it to you as his people, because this is his desire for us. That's to be a people in whom the manifest presence of God abides. That's whether you go to the grocery store or whether you go across the street. It doesn't make any difference. And of course, as I share this vision, you're going to understand the total and supernatural empowerment that those who are faithful are about to step into. And it's an extremely important thing to prepare your heart to receive this, because that's where we're going. All right. So he appeared and he shared with me, and he began to talk to me about crowns. And I'd never thought much about it before. Again, I had the mindset, yep, that's going to be the reward at the end of the race. And in some cases, it is. But listen to the definition of a crown in the dictionary. A circlet, often of precious metal set with jewels, worn on the head as a mark of sovereign power. Now put that into your mindset when you're thinking about your spiritual walk, and when we're thinking about the fact that we've been given all authority in Christ, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Again, Brady, the word all. You know, I'm going to talk about the absoluteness of God and how in the second part of this vision, and how he is empowering us to reveal his absoluteness wherever we go, whatever we say. All right, so he appeared, and he started to speak to me about it. And he started to talk to me about his desire for the glorious church to be established, a people who operate in a manner that's nonstop supernaturally until the catching away of the church. Nonstop supernaturally in the supreme authority that is his, that's already his, and he's given it to us. Again. So then, about things went on normally, but there was a supernatural quickening which grew each day. But I have to tell you this, it wasn't some flaky vision. The point of this vision was not to get caught up somewhere and then come back. It was to continue walking the practical and daily affairs of life under the supernatural and total empowerment of God. And this is what happens. I'm going to share a few things with you what happened that week, because I haven't come anywhere close to it since, other than in glimpses. But we're getting closer now. In this conference, from the moment it started, I began to have that stirring. And I've been seeking this, of course. But I've had that stirring because it's His will for all of us. And we're going to enter into this. So as I share this, I want you to receive this. Whatever state you're in now, spirit, soul, body, or financially, just receive this. Because your job is to be faithful. Your job is to be obedient. Your job is to seek first the kingdom and to love Him with all your heart. And He's going to take care of the rest, because He's coming to take over the total empowerment of His church. And only those who are willing to allow Him to do that are going to be fit, are going to be found in that place of true service. So I continued doing things. And the next day, I was in the local Christian bookstore. Now, I'm going to read this to you, because I could sit here and explain it to you, but these are the words He gave me as I wrote it out, and I can't do any better than that. So I'm just going to share this part of it. This was about the local church. This was the answer to the question that was plaguing me for weeks about how in heaven's name are all these people going to come out of the denominational structure into the true church. Because in 1997, it didn't look good. People were fighting for their beliefs. And what they were believing wasn't good. In early July 1997, I was standing in the back of the local Christian bookstore talking with the owner about denominations and their detrimental effect on the end time plan of God, when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and I saw in the Spirit this, for lack of a better expression, small mass of glory. This was high up in the sky. It looked like a large glob of radioactive material. Brilliant light emanated from it, high up in the heavenlies over the city. The Father spoke to me and told me that this mass over the city was the glory of God residing in those of His servants who were continually seeking to abide in perfect love. That was the requirement. That's all. And I saw these people in the Spirit. They weren't, you know, people who had high positions of power. They were regular people like you and me, just seeking God. God looks upon the heart. Don't ever let the devil fool you on that one. God, because if we think anything less than that, we'll never discern anything correctly. Because God, you know, our job in that time of fellowship with Him and seeking Him is to come to see all things through His eyes, to know His heart, to express His heart in all that we say and do. So I saw these people, and they were regular people, and it wasn't all that big, this particular mass. And this was not a small city. So it was the glory of God abiding in those servants who were continually seeking to abide in perfect love, and that through their continued obedience, He was able to begin to establish true pockets of believers. This mass of glory, this pocket I'm telling you about, this wasn't just the only place. I knew instantaneously that this was little pockets throughout the earth, in every nation. As each one of these hidden pockets continued in obedience to His will for their lives, both individually and corporately, He would bring them together by the Holy Spirit. I knew that. He would bring them together. He would then begin to establish His true government in the midst of those called out ones. Now, just a brief side note here. We talk about divine government, but the beauty of divine government is it's not established by man. It's established again by revelation abiding in the hearts of His people. And when people come together in obedience to the Holy Spirit, then divine government just happens. It's not through the establishment of the working of man. It is through the power and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we will see that. We are seeing it now. And I noticed these people. These people were non-religious, and there was not a trace of guile within them. They were pure hearts, and they were fearless. They had no fear of man or demon. They were truly a sight to behold. The Father then showed me that as these groups came together, they would begin to attract or draw as a magnet certain others. In many cases, those in the grip of the world, and in other cases, those who had been called out of a particular denomination. That would be people who were maybe in that religious bondage or that environment of religious bondage, but they had a heart towards God. And so this power in the heavenlies began to draw them. Now, again, I better go back. That place, that positioning, that mass that I saw in the heavenlies was representative of our place in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places with Him. And that's where we're to abide as the glorious church. That's where we're called to be. It is the place of ascension. It is the place from where all true authority manifests. Okay. So, in other words, God has a plan to not only win the world, but also to, at first, initially, to draw the people out of that any kind of religious bondage. Okay. So, like a powerful magnet, the Father then showed me, again, that he would supernaturally multiply the church daily, and that this original mass of glory would not only increase, but that the power of the love that was being released to a greater degree continually would literally draw quickly, like a powerful magnet, all those whose hearts were even remotely towards him, begin to draw like a powerful magnet. And I don't remember much in school, and Brady, you could probably do this, you could do this much better than I. I do remember one thing. We had some magnets in physics class, and we were fooling around with iron filings. And so we put the magnet down, and okay, the magnet was here at first, the iron filings were here, and as you move the magnet closer, there seemed to be a gradual drawing, but when it reached a certain point, they just all just suddenly moved into that place. And that's what's going to happen in the church in this last hour as the force of love increases. So like a powerful magnet. I then saw many of the church buildings in our city. This happened a little bit later. I was walking through the city, and as like every other city, there's a different church on every corner, it seems. And God opened my eyes. And I saw people being drawn right up out of their pews and straight up through the roof of whatever building or denomination they belonged to. And they joined the rapidly expanding mass of God's glory in the heavenlies. And this, of course, was all above the principalities and powers. Very, very important positioning. As a Christian, you're either going to be above the principalities and powers or below them. Above, you're going to crush them under your feet. Below, they are going to inflict the greatest devastation of terror on this earth that they can, I mean, where they can, because they're going to be running in terror from the glorious church, and they're just going to be in total chaos, and they're just going to inflict whatever they can. So we need to be in this position of the ascension life with Christ and remain there. All right. So this above every force of darkness, I saw Catholics, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Pentecostals, Methodist church members, and certain other fellowships. The Lord said in that moment that he would have nothing to do with anything that had been built or established by the hand of the flesh. In other words, confirming what he said, you can do nothing apart from me. And I knew when he said that, instantaneously, there was coming a severe judgment. Now, this is 7 years ago, but I knew there would come a time when that judgment would intensify to such a degree, and it would be severe. But the good thing I saw was that at least a few came out of every one of those buildings or churches. And in some cases, most, if not all, to come out of that denomination and fellowship to partake of the true work of the Lord. Extremely important. And again, the rate of increase was almost incomprehensible. You see, the multiplication, we had a glimpse of that in the early church, the multiplication of, you know, the 3,000 and so on, 300, whatever. Through the days, it grew and spread. And we will see that in this last hour, because as much as we have been blessed by the establishment of the early apostles, the things they established, God is going to finish the job through this last generation of the glorious church. And we're going to take everything that they did, and we're going to finish the job in a manner that allows the glory of God to come forth unhindered in whatever manner he desires. So that was a key manifestation that set me on a course that I've never looked back from. I've never had a thought again about the church. Once I had this vision, I knew that those who truly love God were going to come out of those places, and that God was going to establish true works throughout the body of Christ, throughout the earth. So, as I said before, it was a daily thing. I was doing the practical things. I had some responsibilities, and I was out praying as I always did daily. But in this time, I spent most of my time in the city rather than in the countryside surrounding the city. And I noticed some amazing things. The one day that I walked out, the first day, I didn't get very far out of my door, and all of a sudden, my eyes were opened wide. And I saw a car drive down a street. He said, cast the spirit of murder out of that man. I saw a person walk out of an alley. He said, cast so and so out of them. And so on. And it continued on for the entire walk across the city, which was about, at that point, an hour in length. And it was like the best word I could describe it is a swath. Does everybody know what a swath is? And then when I thought of that this morning, I thought of the Red Sea parting, because that's what it was like. Wherever I walked, Satan's schemes were exposed. Everything fell on both sides of me. Wherever I walked. And of course, I was being led by the Spirit. I didn't have to think about where I was going. I didn't have to think what I was doing. I didn't have to think what I was praying. Take that to heart, because wherever you're called to go, whatever you're called to do as the glorious church, that's the empowerment you will have. And it's an abiding empowerment. I'm talking about unfading glory. That's not coming and going, having a good day, having a bad day. Unfading glory. So I asked him about that. I said, what about that? And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my living room. All of a sudden, the Father's on one side of me and Jesus is on the other, looking over my shoulder. And my eyes are open wide. I can see now, I can see the entire scope of my, I'm up here in the heavenlies with them. I can see the entire scope of the schemes of the devil in the people that I was interceding for, the church, whatever you want to say. Just like you've seen those blueprints, the real finely detailed ones that only people who are intelligent can understand. It was like that. Only I could. Everything was moving. Everything was exposed. It was a total open vision, and that is the way we will walk in this last hour. Wherever, whatever comes forth into our path, we will have the discernment to supernaturally handle it in a way that is total devastation of the enemy. Are you beginning to get a picture of why he's running scared, and why he will operate in terror, and why it is so foolish to remain in fear? When we've been delivered from fear, we come into fellowship with perfect love, all that fear will be cast out. So I'm talking to you about an abiding place. We all talk about abiding in love, abiding in the presence of the Lord. Well, he is going to empower us to do that. Okay. So that was another thing that happened, and that was an amazing thing. I still have that vision burning in me. It's just as clear right now as it was then. Then, of course, I mentioned a bit earlier about the fact that in this time, there came a supernatural impartation of the Word. And what happened was, I sat down to read the Bible, and I opened up James, starting at James 1, and I read it. And you know how you always read a verse or a chapter? Well, I just started reading, and I didn't even see the numbers. It was a letter. And there's nothing wrong with numbers. But it was a letter. And I saw the whole thing, and I saw the purpose of God, and it was a supernatural experience. I can't explain to you. Except to say that my eyes were open to a degree that was much wider than ever been before, as far as seeing the Word. This is the place the children of God will walk in. This is the defining of what I said earlier about this supernatural impartation of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in this last hour. We will be a people who know what we're doing. Most importantly, we'll be a people who know what God desires to do, and we will be found doing it. So that was another supernatural impartation. And he spoke many things. I'm just doing this briefly. But from that revelation I got from James, I have pages written in there. And those are things I didn't even think about before that moment. And I spent the rest of the day just writing these things out. The last thing I'm going to share on this particular part, well, the second of the last two things. Actually, it's the first of three things. See, it's expanding already. It was the physical body. Now, God had given me a word in this time. And he said that in the last of the last hour, your days will be 20 to 22 hours. And I thought, well, okay. I said, by this time, I'd learned to trust him, but I sure didn't understand how he's going to do that. So in this time, from the time Jesus appeared to me the first time, there was a supernatural quickening in my body. And believe me, I was in a place of weakness before that. So there's a supernatural quickening. And what happened, though, was this, and these last few things I'm sharing, these are the things I kind of remember the most, even though I remember them all. But my body was quickened to such a great degree that I had no fatigue in those times. My days were 20 to 22 hours. I came to the point at night, I was doing the work of the ministry, I was typing and compiling writings and walking and praying and doing everything I usually did. But the thing I remember the most was the presence of God
the remember I said it was a heavy anointing of consecration before? It was the heaviness. It was God himself. As a matter of fact, I remember that first day I went walking, and I was not in bad shape, and I was, and of course I was at sea level. I mean, it's not like the mountains. And I'm walking up this normal place, and I'm like going, you know, heavy. Heavy, and I thought, my goodness, of course the devil says, well, I think you're having a heart attack, you know. He didn't get too much in that week, I can tell you. But immediately, you know, God revealed to me, no, this was his presence. It was the heaviness of his presence. It's not a detrimental thing. It's a good thing, but it's heavy. It's like, you know, you have trouble breathing, but not, like when you have trouble breathing when you're running up a stairs or something, that's not so pleasant. But this was a very pleasant experience, and it was his presence being there. And so, but I remember this. Basically, I went to, I was working away. I was not tired at all. I didn't want to go to bed. I did not want to leave the presence of God. It was a glorious thing. It was an abiding love. And it was blessing me. I was just doing what I was doing, but it was blessing me at the same time. I was writing one thing, getting revelation on another. It was an amazing thing. And I didn't want to go to bed. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, it's time to go to bed. So I went out there, and I wasn't tired. So I lay down, gone. Right? Woke up 2 hours later, sprung out of bed, the same presence was there. I didn't miss a thing. And I mean, I thought, this is great, you know, and this is never going to end, I can tell. 7 years later, I had a few things to learn between then and now. But what I'm saying to you is, this is what he was giving me, was a glimpse of where he's taking us and where we will ultimately walk in this season, where we will walk this total empowerment. But it was an amazing thing. Oh, the love of God abiding there. See, that's where the empowerment comes from. You know, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy was continuing. The peace was continual. Anything you needed was continual. The devil was nowhere to be seen. And I'll define that by, and I'll explain why that thing was maintained the way it was. Because I don't know how many of you have experienced the gift of faith before. But if you have or haven't, the gift of faith put you in a place, there is no doubt. There is no unbelief. There is no anything. There's no darkness. There's no anything apart from the pure and absolute power of God abiding within you. You know his heart, and you say it, and you do it. And that's it. And that is going to be a gift that dwells mightily in the midst of God's people in this last hour. When you have that, you're not going to have any fear. You're not going to have any worry. You're not going to have any unbelief. So you can see now, as individuals, and as corporately, as the church, the empowerment that God is about to impact the earth with. Now, then a week later, that went on the whole week, and on that, a week later, almost probably the same hour, I would think, he appeared to me again. Jesus appeared to me, and he talked to me about the crown of life. Now, there, I never thought about this, but again, you get this mindset, well, okay, yeah, like, when we get to heaven, we'll get the crown of life. Well, obviously, you're going to have absolute life in heaven, just like you're going to have a crown of unfading glory in heaven. I mean, that didn't make any sense, see, but he was renewing my mind. So, he spoke to me about the crown of life, and I'm just going to briefly define this, because he spoke a number of things, but he said, a special anointing for his people that allows one to impart the absoluteness of God's character and purpose. It will both expose and lay to waste every scheme of Satan and his forces in the midst of God's people. So he bookended the seven-day experience. And I was well coming down from that. But that was the essence of it, the 7 days. And so what he did was, after speaking to me about the crown of glory that's unfading and the crown of life, he walked me through that for 7 days. I walked in that. And he said, this is where my church will walk in the last hour. They will abide in this place. So, you know, again, I have a few more things to share, but the fact is, I want you to understand that where we're about to enter into is a place heretofore unseen. And so we need to be renewed in our mind, and again, the importance of the inner chamber. So that's important. And, you know, God went on to talk to me about the fact that, in my own mindset, he gave me a word, and he said, you know, many of my people have this same mindset about crowns. And it's that we're going to get everything after. Isn't that like the devil? Oh, healing's passed away, or oh no, it's out there, but it's in the future somewhere. Always never in the now. Not where that the faith can be united with the word of God and the power come forth to cause the result. That's where he wants to keep you. In the past, in the future, in the flesh. There's nothing wrong with the future as long as you have a vision and revelation and you're holding fast to it. So, you know, he said a few things to me about that, but he talked mostly about, I'm going to reveal my provision in his absoluteness. Get a picture of that. Our provision isn't something, a bunch of things. It's him. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, it's been provided for us. Okay. Oh, he talked about his unrestrained power and that no enemy would stand before his church. Satan knows this. He's terrified. Absolutely terrified. But as I said earlier, this is for those who are faithful to God. Now, 1 Peter 4:7 is going to review a few scriptures here. It's just like James, like the experience I had with James. I had a kind of an experience with Peter this morning. I would encourage you to read Peter, both, but particularly 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore. Again, when you see a therefore, look previous and see what it's there for. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of communicating with God unceasingly. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. How do you do that? By loving God with all your heart first. You see, if you do that above all, if you love God with all your heart first, then you'll keep fervent in your love for one another and for his plan, and even for the world, of course. Verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it. We all know what it means to be unemployed. We don't want our gift to be unemployed. We're already employed. Employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold or the multifaceted grace of God, the all-consuming grace of God. That will be the total empowerment of the church, the grace. Bill had that vision of the bridge. Nobody's going to cross that bridge maintaining their own baggage. It's impossible. It's impossible to enter into spiritual reality and maintain self. It's impossible. All right. Verse 11. Whoever speaks, that pretty well covers all of us, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. Do you understand the total empowerment of God? It's not impossible. He doesn't so much need our help as he needs our cooperation. Cooperation. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. All things. Again, that place of abiding, the glorious church, going and doing and saying whatever God would have us do in any given moment. An abiding manifestation of glory in our midst, individually and corporately. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion, or all authority, forever and ever. It's a long time. Verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Shelley talked about that yesterday. Is she blessed? Or empowered? You can take that word bless and just put the word empower in there. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Yeah, there's a price to pay to walk in the fullness of kingdom living. But that is the ultimate reward. And that is the manifestation of his glory. And in that place of his presence, you'll come to know him. And you'll come to know what he has for you to do. Verse 17 says, it's time for judgment to begin with. One translation says, from the household of God. That's a twofold thing. Yeah, the household's been under judgment. Why? He's fine-tuning us. He's refining us. But now, his judgment's going to pour forth through his holy vessels. And I don't have time to go into that now. But holy fire. And in this, all we need to do is have the presence of God with us. Whatever manifestation needs to come forth will come forth. If it's fire, see, fire can both bless and fire can consume and destroy. all depending on the state of the heart before us, our job is to be filled with that fire. Verse 19. Therefore, let those who also suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is righteous. In doing what is right. Doing what is righteous. I want to define this right now so you get this. You never have to look back about and understand suffering again. We are called to suffer for righteousness' sake, not unrighteousness' sake. And what that means is we're not called to suffer under anything we've been redeemed from, but rather to resist all those things which we've been redeemed from through the power of God abiding within us. Then the Spirit of glory will rest on us, no matter what we go through. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. When's he going to appear? After we leave here? Mm-mm. That's right. Somebody said right now. They're absolutely right. That's exactly what God desires to impart to us in these days. Right now. And then, of course, you read down verse 5:8. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Now, have I got it? Oh, I got 2 minutes. Oh, I got time. Oh, another miracle. Whew. All right. So you saw in that passage in Peter, all these things that Peter was talking about for the end of this age. And then one of the keys, humble yourselves. What does that mean? Come into a place of total dependence upon God. A total dependence upon God. Because he'll exalt you in that proper time. What does it mean when God says, I'll exalt you? I will give you the platform to release all that which I've prepared you with in the times of testing, the times of the cave, whatever else. You will have the platform. Don't ever worry about that. Because if you do, you'll try and get there yourself. And if you do, you're going to be those who are humbled. And when God humbles, he humbles. So I'll close with this word that he gave me. And it really sums up everything I've said concerning the glorious church and the days at hand. The days of my glorious church are at hand. And truly, truly, I say to you, I shall exalt those who have humbled themselves before me. He'll give us platform. In the eyes of all of my people. See, isn't it funny? The people who are striving to be seen are going to be lost. They're not going to be seen. And the people who have humbled themselves before God will be seen with a view, of course, to glorifying him to the greatest degree. The days of carnality in my church are at an end, and my glory shall fill the earth. I say to you again, I shall honor those greatly. That's a great promise. When God says greatly, I mean, it would be great if he didn't say greatly even, but when he says greatly, I say to you again, I shall honor those greatly who have laid aside the things of this world for the sole purpose of drawing near to me. Again, his priority, the prerequisite. Indeed, I will do exceeding abundantly beyond their fondest dreams or imaginations. For it is the time for the revealing of my sons and daughters in the earth. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn. It's obvious that when you talk to somebody that has a revelation, there's no way they're going to give that whole thing to you in the time frames that we have. And Glenn has moved here from Canada to be a part of this ministry. You've been here, what, now, almost 3 years. And I would urge you, if you want to know the rest of the story, or page 2 and on, subscribe to his ministry letter, and you can, and he'll reveal all of that stuff to you, and it'll really help you grow in your position in Christ Jesus, foundationally, but also with an ascension up into your divine connection with God, so that you can be all that he's called you to be. Amen.